Welcome to the House of Pod, a show where we pull back the curtain on the world of medicine, we answer questions about your health, and we interview great guests.
I'm Joe, and I'm not a doctor.
And I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Kaveh.
And we're two gastroenterologists.
What's a gastroenterologist?
You know, the doctors who work with your digestive system.
Say what?
You know, your liver, your pancreas, your intestines.
Where now?
Your butt, Joe. It's your butt.
Oh. On today's show, we have Gil Ross, a medical doctor and the former medical director of the American Council on Science and Health, who will talk with us about the use of vaping for tobacco cessation. He is also Lizzie's dad. Stay tuned while Lizzie works out some daddy issues.
And welcome back to the House of Pod. You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, that was so mellow. It's usually...
I want to keep you and the listeners on their toes. So, Elizabeth, can I call you Elizabeth?
Sure, Dr. Kaveh.
Today we have a very special guest. I know we say we have a special guest, and we say that for pretty much everybody.
They're all special.
They're all special, but yeah. Today's guest is different. Can you tell me why today's guest is a little different?
He's my father. My dad, my pops,
and
daddy.
This is the first time we've had a family member.
It is. We've had definitely first, you know, second degree people of our close friends and almost family. But yeah, first blood.
And
that was a movie.
It was Rambo. It was a good one, too. So to prepare our listeners, because we've already done the interview, I'm going to let you know. And it's a lot of fun. I think it is, oddly enough, our most contentious interview that we've ever done.
One of them, yes. Definitely top.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever fought with anyone
else
before.
No. We try to respectfully suggest other views with people, but This one, a little bit more animated.
You can do that with your family members. You can say things that you can't to other people. So I think it's a really interesting discussion. Want to hear your thoughts. So when you guys listen, feel free to give us feedback. And as always, send your questions to hopquestions@gmail.com or email us at Facebook or find us on Twitter at The House of Pod.
Stay tuned to listen to me and my father work out some issues.
Stay tuned.
On today's show, we have Gil Ross, graduate of New York University School of Medicine, trained at Bellevue, former medical director of American Council on Science and Health, current chief medical officer of Damien Family Care Centers. He is also anti-pseudoscience, anti-quackery, anti-goop, anti-Oz, and has a controversial position on e-cigarettes. And, full disclosure, he's my father.
No.
Which part of that wasn't true?
The controversial part is not true.
Okay, we'll get to that, but first let's get to the dad part. Thank you for coming on the show. It's so much fun
to have
someone who has seen Lizzie grow from what I assume is the exact same person in a much smaller body. Like I imagine Lizzie growing up was just a tiny little person with the same sized head she has now, being very difficult.
I feel like you're calling me.
She was very sweet when she was little.
Really?
Yeah, hard as it is to believe.
And then?
And then I got big, is what you're suggesting. We're deleting all of this crap.
No way.
She's a competitive athlete, I know, when she was in high school and college. So we have to give obeisance to that as well.
She does try to remind me that she was a Division I athlete, but I think there's a big asterisk on that one. A big asterisk because it was like lacrosse? Field hockey.
It was lacrosse.
Lacrosse.
Wait, what's the asterisk?
It's
not a real sport.
I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know.
But you beat opponent with a stick, isn't it not?
That's kind of cool. I have to say that is pretty cool.
Let's talk about me now.
Yeah. Sorry. Enough about your daughter. So thanks for coming on. getting to what Lizzie had mentioned in her introduction was you've written about smoking, the tobacco industry, and you've written about e-cigarettes, or you know what we refer to as vaping, what we hear a lot of people talk about these days. And I think we kind of want to get to that because you have an outlook on it that I have to say is not the one I would intuitively have. And being a skeptic, I approach it with a little bit of trepidation, but I am really interested to talk to you about it, and I want to hear your thoughts about vaping.
So during my years at the American Council on Science and Health, we did a lot of research on cigarette smoking and tobacco. And around 2009, 2010, the concept of tobacco harm reduction became very important. Like other fields in which harm reduction is important, tobacco harm reduction is crucially important. When I say harm reduction, it means not prohibition, but allowing people who are using a substance or product which might be harmful to keep using it as long as it's not being used in such a way to actually cause harm to themselves or to the environment around them. So, for instance, we don't tell people with HIV not to have sex. We tell them to use condoms and other issues related to that. We have clean needles for drug addicts, for instance, in some areas. That means they can continue to use their addictive drug, but they don't get hepatitis C or HIV or other infectious diseases from using contaminated needles. That's harm reduction. Part of my mantra here today is to point out to you that the public health organizations, the governmental organizations, the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, have unleashed a wave of baseless propaganda against electronic cigarettes and vapor products based upon alleged fears of addicting a new population of young people into smoking because, as you know, e-cigarettes are a gateway product that they hook young people into smoking. Well, if you look at the data, you'll find that there is no such phenomenon going on. When they tabulate tobacco use in this country, they include e-cigarettes and vapor products among tobacco use. Hey, CDC, there's no tobacco in e-cigarettes or vapor products. It's not a tobacco product. They barefaced lie about saying that because there's nicotine in e-cigarettes, it's a tobacco product. Well, it's not.
Well, it's not like, well, I would say a couple things. It's not like a nicotine is harmless and we're worried about that. It's not like the flavoring components or the solvents like glycerin or all those things might not be harmless. Those certainly could be a factor, but in terms of the prevalence in the youth, so you tell me what you think about this, and you might disagree with these facts that I saw from the CDC, but they showed that in 2017, like 11.7% of 12th graders used the nicotine vape. And then that went up in 1 year, 2018, to 20.8. That seems like a pretty dramatic increase. And I think even if they're not smoking tobacco, there's still, don't you see that there's a harm in that?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Nicotine is essentially harmless. It's physiologically as toxic approximately as caffeine. When they say nicotine is addictive, nicotine by itself is barely addictive. It's nicotine laced with all of the psychoactive chemicals in cigarettes plus the behavioral habits that lead to the deadly addiction propensity of cigarette smoking. Vaping is not addictive. Of course, too much of anything is no good for you. There is such a thing as nicotine toxicity. Some of the illicit products you can buy on the street, illicit vapes, do have too much nicotine in them, and I imagine that could be toxic. I will also say that we don't have controlled studies showing that e-cigarette and vapor product use reduces the use of cigarette smoking. We have surveys that seem to confirm that fairly solidly, but we don't have any controlled trials, randomly ascribed people to cigarette smoking versus e-cigarettes.
But you're saying the rates of cigarette use have dropped, and that correlates with increased use of vaping, obviously, and that is the most telling thing that we have.
Well, what you say is something that I would write in a headline. Increasing use of e-cigarettes seems to be linked to a lower rate of cigarette smoking. as opposed to a randomized controlled trial, which we don't have. We will never have a randomized controlled trial of e-cigarettes versus cigarette smoking because, A, let's say B, it's nobody wants to do that because you have to get a product approved and make $1 billion from it to get through the FDA's approval process. But A, you'd have to assign a group of people to smoke and keep smoking versus using e-cigarettes. And nobody is ever going to do that, I can assure you. Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So let's review the options for smoking. Tobacco, cigarette, smoking cessation devices. So we've addressed e-cigarettes. We talked briefly about dip, you know, tobacco in your mouth, you know, people call it dip. There's Nicorette gums. There's Chantix, which I think is, you know, has a lot of black box warnings, I think, for suicide. So the gist of what all this is saying, what we're talking about is the fact that a lot of these don't work, right? Or work to a degree that is not helpful to prevent death.
Exactly so. I have to first say, I'm going to come back to you.
I'm just saying, he's my dad, so I have to agree with what you're saying. I'm just giving you a volleyball here, or a softball.
Oh, a softball. Thanks.
Sure. We do not.
Some people say, but what about people who vape for 5, 10, and 20 years? What might happen to them? And the answer is, you know, quite honestly, we don't know. Nobody should vape. A. B. Only people who should vape are people who are trying to quit cigarettes.
Yes.
That's the only reason to vape.
But for how long? You just said we don't know how long.
Well, we don't know what vaping will do to you if you vape for 10 or 20 years, but we damn well know what cigarette smoking is going to do to you. There's nothing in vapor products that should logically, physiologically lead to harm. And yet, of course, if you vape for 10 years, it's quite possible something bad will happen to you. But listen, 480,000 Americans die every year of cigarette smoking related diseases. There's 40 million or almost 40 million, now it's going down, addicted adult smokers in this country. We should do something about that. And yet all of the public health authorities and governmental officials and the local public health organizations, and I use public health in quotes, have this vast propaganda of against e-cigarettes and vaping. Basically, their message is, we don't know what vaping is going to do to you over the many, many years, so keep on smoking.
That's not what they're saying.
Yeah, I am not to disagree with that for a couple of things. Everyone agrees that cigarette smoking is bad. Everyone agrees that. And I think there's an argument in a conversation to be had about using vaping in very specific groups of people, but that certainly doesn't make vaping the good guy. I'm very skeptical of e-cigarettes and vaping nonetheless. And part of that is because it's not taking 10 years before we see some insult to the lungs or some problems come around. We're seeing cases of this vaping-induced lung illness, and we're even seeing some deaths. Now, I know this is on small level still, but this is happening relatively fast. And given how fast this increase seems to be in kids, and we could talk about how we're targeting kids, which is really what bothers me, that really concerns me, because that is going to become a bigger and bigger number as more 12th graders come through, more kids get exposed to it.
And it does sound very conspiracy theorist to say that they're, you know, public health organizations, quote unquote. It's not propaganda. They're not saying keep smoking tobacco and keep smoking cigarettes. Like, I want you to sound more rational when you're making this argument, you know?
You sound like Trump,
like, oh, we can't trust the CIA, we can't trust the DE, we can't, that's what you sound like. I might delete that, but that's what you sound like.
I have never known you in the past, and I will not know you in the future. You again referred to me in the same sentence with that person.
I just am trying to encourage you to not speak like that.
But
I am a conspiracy theorist here. I'm very much opposed to conspiracy theories. At ACTRA and in my entire life, I have been a very big opponent of these idiotic conspiracy theories. But I have no other explanation. First of all, I like to show you this headline. Howard Zucker is the Department of Health of New York State Commissioner. Quote, just about all New York vaping illnesses are from black market THC cartridges. Okay, how do you like that? So you bring up the subject of people being injured by vaping? Well, who the hell knows what they're vaping? The conclusions of scientific studies seem to show that these are black market tetrahydrocannabinol, that is marijuana vapes that are causing the lung injuries. And I'll tell you this, even if it was proven that this was due to regular vaping, regular nicotine, polyethylene glycol, flavoring vapes, which they're not, it would still be a small, tiny drop in the bucket compared to the devastating harm of cigarette smoking. And one last thing, not last, but one more thing. The young people who are vaping now, if there was no such thing as harm-reduced products, such as e-cigarettes and vapes, would undoubtedly be smoking cigarettes. So it's not exactly...
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean,
You don't think the flavors are...
These are clearly geared towards enticing kids. I mean, that... And the tobacco company did this too, for sure. But I mean, there's like over 7,000 flavors and things like mango and bubblegum and all these things that are really geared towards getting younger populations into this. And
I disagree. Adults who want to quit smoking cigarettes are not big fans of nicotine flavored and tobacco flavored vapes. They like fruit flavors themselves. If you were a 16-year-old with your friends at a party, would you whip out your vape and say, "Hey, this is a strawberry cherry flavored vape?"
I know for a fact they are. I know for a fact that they're doing that. This is what the kids find it fun. They don't mind being a little ironic. They're not like tied to the same sort of like toxic masculinity that a lot of us were in terms of like their fruit flavorings and that sort of thing. And getting to that point though, I do think FDA regulation is a big part of this with me. And there's a lot that I think to talk about with this. I mean, if you ask me what I think the FDA should do, I think the first thing would be to ban all flavored e-cig flavors. I mean, I think that's the very basic thing. And then require some testing of these products that are going into it, these pre-market testing of things that pulmonologists suspect might be a problem here, like benzaldehyde or vanillin or the diacetyl, all these other flavoring components that go in. I think that's the very minimum of where we should start.
Diacetyl has been banned since this big popcorn lung epidemic, which affected about 3 people, I think, a few years ago. It seems to be vitamin E acetate oil that seems to be the toxic ingredient in the black market marijuana vapes that have caused the lung injury to the, I don't know how many it is these days. It may be up to 2,000 cases.
I think it's about 2,000 now. Yeah. I think it's 2,000 cases of lung injury associated with, like you said, mostly e-cigarettes and vaping, mostly THC, but we don't know. Sometimes there's a combination. And I think there at this point, there's close to 40 deaths that have been confirmed with respect to these vaping-induced lung injury.
Billions of e-cigarettes and vapor products have been sold in this country since they first arrived at these shores in 2007, 2008. And the number of vaping-related lung injuries is what you just said, which is about 0.0001%, even if it was due to nicotine-containing vapor products, which it's not.
I mean, the issue is that they are very young kids who might not have been doing this long-term, and we want to give people a smoking cessation device that's safe, and there does need to be some sort of duration, right? Like this is meant for this period of time to help people actually have guidelines. Because I think we can all agree, even if we disagree some places, that the marketing has been inappropriate. And there are people who've gone into schools and have said e-cigarettes are 1,000% safe to kids. And they're not saying this is meant to be a tobacco cessation device.
Nothing is safe. No. When anybody that says e-cigarettes and vapor products are 1,000% safe, that's obviously false. First of all, nothing is safe. So you can cross the street and get hit by a truck. That's the, defined safe.
Studying vaping products is going to be hard because it's a diverse group of products. It's a rapidly changing field, and it makes it hard to study. In terms of e-cigarettes as a harm reduction tool, though, I'm not going to pretend that I've read the studies on this, but I have looked through statements from the Royal College of MDs and the American Thoracic Society here in the United States. They have said via expert opinion that e-cigarettes appear to be an effective tool used in the aid of specific smokers. But they have criticized those studies as being sort of low quality studies, small numbers of trials, small sample size. There's been questions about the methodologic flaws of it and the confidence intervals. So there has been note that that expert opinion that was done back in really 2014, I think, was when the last time they said anything. There's been a lot of changes since then. There's been a lot more discussion about the youth use. There's been a lot more discussion about this vaping induced injury. So this is still a bit of a moving target, wouldn't you say?
Yes. The good scientific studies attesting to the efficiency and effectiveness of vaping and e-cigarette use to helping smokers quit for an extended period of time are poor quality and few and far between. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I refer you to the statistics. And again, this is an association. It's not a cause and effect. It doesn't fulfill the Austin Flint criteria for causality. But you look at the smoking rates in this country of adults and teens versus the e-cigarette and vaping rates, and you see a clear association between one going down and one going up. I also like to mention to you you've accused me of being a conspiracy theorist.
That was your daughter, by the way. Your daughter said that.
That was me. It wasn't the House of Pot. It was just Lizzie.
The House of Pot takes no official position on whether
that's just my personal opinion.
No, we always back Lizzie's opinion. We don't go against it.
That's true.
We
are a team.
You notice that the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, no state governmental health authority has issued a warning to people not to vape black market THC vapes. You only hear about, like Governor Cuomo, for instance, his own health commissioner says the vaping related lung injuries in New York State are all related to illicit black market THC. And yet Governor Cuomo wants to ban all vapor products and e-cigarettes in New York State because of this epidemic of vaping related lung injuries. How does that make any sense? I'm afraid to say that the governmental agencies, including the states and the federal government, are, without saying keep on smoking overtly, they want to wipe out the e-cigarette industry. And I'm afraid that some of their rationale is to keep on collecting cigarette taxes. When you spend $15 on a pack of Marlboros, $12 of that goes to various federal, state, and local taxes. Please explain that. And all of these American Thoracic Societies and the Endocrine Society and the American Academy of Pediatrics, all of these groups are highly funded by the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, I will counter your conspiracy theory with more conspiracy theory here.
Big tobacco.
So let's talk about Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the new FDA commissioner, and he was put through in 2016. And when he held the position with Cure, K-U-R-E. It's a vape store franchisor that sells e-cigs and promotes vaping. In fact, the company, if you look through their material, their plan was to, quote, bring the passionate art of vaping to the everyday customer. And there's nothing in there about, you know, using it for, to try and get people to quit or anything like that. Because at least they're being honest about what their intentions were, which is to get it to as many people as possible. So that's someone who was in charge of the FDA. And then you bring up the American Association of Pediatrics. But even they're suing the FDA for the failure to regulate these things. And the American Thoracic Society joined in as an amicus brief, which means they just sort of, we learned that term with another episode, means they just added on to the lawsuit, basically. And the response that the Trump administration has had so far from all this, like weaselly words, clearing the market. They're going to clear the market of these vapes and these flavors that can affect kids. So nothing regulatory has been written so far. There's been really nothing the FDA has put forward in terms of regulating these things. Can I ask you this? Do you agree that the FDA should ban all flavored e-cigarettes?
No, I sure as hell do not agree with that.
Why not?
Because adults who want to quit smoking prefer flavored vapes.
Well, like menthol, you mean?
Menthol is true, but also the fruity flavors that you castigate so fiercely for addicting our kids.
But don't you think that there is a risk in those things? The same way there was a risk with the tobacco company when they did that same sort of concept, trying to market towards kids.
this is what the governmental agencies like to say, is that this has been the campaign for tobacco-free kids, which is one of the worst offenders, and I'm very highly funded by the pharmaceutical industry. They say, oh, it's the big tobacco playbook all over again, back from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, when they introduced filtered cigarettes and flavored cigarettes as a marketing ploy to say this is safer. Use your filter, you know, and everything will be fine, which was obviously a load of crap. And helped help promote the devastating cigarette smoking epidemic of that era, when up to 60% of males in the United States were smoking cigarettes in the early 60s, before the Surgeon General's report of 1964. I don't find this has anything to do with the tobacco industry. And as far as the big tobacco playbook, these people are in commercial ventures. They want to sell more e-cigs and more vapes to make money. Nobody will dispute that. However, they're not allowed to say that e-cigarettes will help you quit smoking. That would be a violation of the law. It's not an FDA-approved product where you can make a health claim like that. So that's why they have to market these products as something that's enjoyable to do. And they don't say anything about health. They're not allowed to. They would go to jail. Their company would be seized by the FDA.
Yeah, then they would be. Then that would they would have no choice but to regulate that. That would be the one step too far. I mean, my personal opinion is that it should ban all flavored e-cigarettes, and they should all be required for pre-market testing. And I actually also think there should be graphic imaging on the boxes of these things, the same way we did for tobacco.
Warnings on cigarette packs, and in fact, the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act of 2009 required that the FDA should make horrible graphic warnings covering at least 40%, if not more, of the cigarette pack. And yet, the FDA has not been able to craft such warnings. It seems to me they could hire a graphic artist and get this done in a few months. But
when you go abroad, they do. They have rotting lungs and dead babies and women, old men and women with wrinkled faces. Abroad,
Yeah, in Europe they have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Australia. But they don't have it in the United States. Why is that? But they should absolutely not put that on vapor products. There's been no evidence that vapor products cause any disease except the black market THC vapes.
Yeah, yeah. That would be an interesting one, just an abnormal x-ray. I wonder if that would deter people from vaping.
They probably have it backwards, though, like we see on TV all the time. They have the x-rays backwards.
Right. So what would you recommend for the CDC to do at this time?
Tell the truth. Just tell the truth.
Yeah.
They have no evidence that the normal products that are manufactured by reliable companies with nicotine cause any disease in a human being. They should not publish propaganda trying to prevent people from vaping, advising them not to vape, when this is the most effective method we have to have people, smokers quit.
Yeah.
If I was running a vapor product store, first of all, I wouldn't let anybody under 18 into my store, A. Now maybe 21 even, although I'm afraid that there's a lot of smokers between the ages of 18 and 21 who could benefit. Next, I would ask any of my customers, do you currently smoke cigarettes? If they said no, I would say, out to the street. These products are designed and should be designed to help smokers quit. I know kids are using them because they enjoy them. And I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater by banning them, by no means. We have, don't make me repeat the statistics. Cigarette smoking is the most important reversible public health problem we have in this country.
Yes. I think that saying the CDC is spouting propaganda is a bit of a contentious statement. I think we clearly need more research, no matter how difficult it will be. And we can't do a great randomized controlled trial. Still sounds like right now there probably needs to be a little bit of a pause before, if you say it's 0.001% of smokers or e-cigarette users, then you have to just know the data before you embark upon a risky behavior,
I don't know why the CDC is lying and dissembling about the health benefits of e-cigarettes. I looked at it on the television set in 2013. When the head of the CDC at that time, Tom Frieden, who was recently a head of the New York City Health Department and subsequently became accused of some crime, I don't remember, something about sexual something. But when he was the head of the CDC, he was standing in front of a graphic that had the cigarette smoking rates going down and e-cigarettes going up. And he said to the people, the millions of people watching, clearly e-cigarettes are a gateway to smoking, when his graphics showed exactly the opposite. Explain. I'm tired of being questioned by you. What do you? How do you think that happened?
Well, sir, I feel like you and I are probably going to fall on pretty different ends of the spectrum on where we stand on this e-cigarette thing. But I have to say, I loved having you on. I think it's very interesting that the most contentious episode of the House of Pod was with a family member of the House of Pod.
Is it surprising?
Maybe not. But it's really been nice talking to you. We really appreciate your time. We know it's late over in New York where you are. We appreciate you spending time with us. Thank you so much for having this wonderful daughter of yours, Lizzie. She is a joy for all of us, and we're very grateful to you.
Get her to move back to New York.
Never.
We miss her.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That was really fun.
Bye.
Bye.
You prefer to go by Gil, right? Not Gilbert?
Well, you can introduce me as Gilbert if you want, but during the conversation, you should call me Gil, I think.
Okay, Dad.
The opinions on this podcast are broadcasted for educational and informational purposes only and do not represent the opinions of our employers. These opinions are not intended as a diagnosis, treatment, or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a local physician or other healthcare professional for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs or concerns. All anecdotes and patient-related details have been changed with respect to date, sex, and certain details so that patient identification is not possible.